We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The Field of 68 Media Network presents Red is the New Orange, a Syracuse basketball podcast.
Vince intercepts a pass, breakaway for the freshman guard, he flies and slams! Aerial assault from Judah Vince!
Looking to go back door to Bell, they get it to a near corner three, knocks it down! Chris Bell, the sharpshooter!
Bringing you everything you need to know out of the 315.
Up top, Williams surges ahead, up with the right hand and in! A pretty up-and-under move from Benny Williams to beat his man.
Over to Taylor. He skips into the lane, puts up a floater, and drops in.
Let's get it started with your hosts, Ian Unsworth and Johnny Gadamowicz.
Well, the hopes of maybe sneaking into the NCAA tournament as a bubble at large seem far, far gone at this point for Syracuse. Ian Unsworth, Johnny Gadamowicz, it's Red is the New Orange. Recorded on Thursday, March 7th, dropping Friday the 8th at noon. Give us a follow, F68_Cuse, for the latest live stream podcast. You can also get them on YouTube under the Field of 68 Podcast Network channel, which also covers a litany of other teams, Big 12, Big 10, ACC, I guess the last year of Pac-12 basketball mixed in there as well. So whatever you're looking for, we've got it at the Field of 68 Podcast Network. The score on Tuesday, 90-75 inside Little John Coliseum. Clemson jumped out early. Syracuse played a much better second half, but the Tigers just held them at arm's length at every twist and turn.
Too much to handle. Felt like every time Syracuse was kind of creeping back and making it a game, Clemson would go on some sort of offensive spurt to really put the Orange hopes down. And this was the PJ Hall game. Had 21 of his 25 in the first half. He made sure right from the jump he was going to get his, and he did that. Syracuse had some answers containing him, holding him to only 4 points in the second half, but at that point, Ian, the damage was already done.
Yeah, he had 10 points in the first 5 minutes, two threes and two layups. Like, how are you going to stop that if, as we've talked about throughout the year, you've got one big man who has to play 40 minutes and is going to wear down, especially now that we're at the tail end of the season. He just played a long, grueling game on Saturday. And a couple days later, Malik Brown is right back out there trying his best not to foul. It's just tough, man. It's a really tough way to go. 38 points in the paint for Clemson. Ian Sheflin, 16. I mean, they were singing his praises on the broadcast, but imagine how good Syracuse would be if it had one more guy like that, just a dirty work guy who didn't need shots and just got rebounds.
Well, I think that brings us to a much larger point, in that this game was kind of a symbol of what Syracuse has needed all year. More size and more shooting. Sheflin, not necessarily that guy, so to speak, with the shooting, but still, It's the two areas where when you get into March, you get into early April, it feels like the teams that are left, the teams that are still going, despite the age, despite the experience, it's the size and the shooting. And those are two areas where time and time again this season, Syracuse has fallen short. I mean, you look at those first couple minutes, right? I believe it was knotted up at 5, and then Clemson rattles off an 11-0 run. Just like that, it was, you blink, and it's 16-5. And it felt like right from there, you saw two teams that were just on very different levels. And I think this is why it's the most frustrating, Ian. Like, the second half showed that this was a game that if Syracuse showed up a little more prepared, if they executed their game plan a little better, like, is Clemson the better team? Yeah, everybody knows that. But this game, at least for me going into it, was not a game that was out of the realm of possibility that you could go out there and win and surprise some people. And to have all this film under your belt and for it to be literally the regular season finale, and it's just another game where you fall a little bit short. And it's been years of this now. And obviously, that can open up a whole nother can of worms. We won't go down that rabbit hole today.
We got the whole offseason.
It feels like Syracuse fans this time of year just have bitter tastes in their mouth way more than they have been accustomed to.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It goes back to the shooting and the rebounding and the size. Where does that come from in the future? Well, hopefully this recruiting class and maybe a couple portal pieces as well. On the Syracuse side, not much to write home about, honestly. Another game, not very good game from Judah Mintz. As a team, the three-pointers just weren't falling. You needed Chris Bell to have a breakout, an explosion. And that did not come. He was largely limited. And I think that's good game planning from Brad Brownell, because as he's seen, as everyone has seen over the past four games, when Syracuse wins, it's usually because Chris Bell has a little mini turbo streak of some kind where he can't miss, or JJ Starling heats up and gets two or three. Neither of those guys had very clean looks. And most of Starling's came getting to the rim one-on-one, sometimes late in the shot clock. Is that good? Yes. Can he do that? Absolutely. But that's not really his role this year. He's been a secondary scorer, and he's been a shooter because Syracuse doesn't have him.
Yeah, I think the best offensive player on the night was probably Copeland, who finishes with 17 in 28 minutes on 6 of 13. And listen, I love Quadir Copeland just as much as the next guy. I don't think you'll find a Syracuse fan who doesn't like his game.
You got
the
like
energy and the spark that he's provided. But if he is the guy who's having the best game on a gotta have it type game in early March, that speaks volumes about this program.
It's not a winning formula, because he's not a shooter and there's not enough spacing, as Autry has reiterated over and over and over again this season. you need space on the floor and you need the ball to move. Clemson, on the other hand, did it really well. 17 assists on 32 made baskets, four different guys with over 15 points, and only turned it over 10 times. And against a Syracuse team that's tops in the ACC in steals per game, that's another thing that, especially on the road, that you hope to capitalize on. You get a couple silly giveaways early on. You throw in the zone. You throw in some man-to-man and hope to catch Clemson off guard. And the Tigers didn't fall for it. And against the, you know, the weaker teams in the ACC, like BC, that'll give it to you 20 times just for showing up, you can do those sort of things. But as we keep coming back to, Johnny, and to kind of jump off your point, against the upper echelon, and that's who you need to beat when we get to February, when you get to March, Syracuse doesn't have that deciding factor. And with a team that doesn't shoot, that doesn't have size, it has to be winning at the margins. And that's extra possessions, steals, offensive rebounds.
And again, I think it's important that we mention, Ian, we're framing this in a very negative light, as we should, because this is a team that's going to fall short of March Madness again, in all likelihood. But at the same time, we should acknowledge the improvement that Red Autry got this team to a higher level over the course of the season, right? It never felt like they bottomed out like they did last year, right? Like there was always something to play for. There was always a bright spot, even if there wasn't a win. And I think that's coaching, particularly in year one, a young team, essentially everybody a sophomore. As much as fans don't want to hear it right now, you got to have that patience. And you got to be okay with the growth and letting things play out. And I think that's something that, look, even if they fall short of their ultimate goal, they can at least say that, hey, in March, we were a significantly better team then than we were all the way back in November. Do you want a couple of more wins? Sure. Do you want to have a better record than 4-7 in true road games? Of course you do. But with a young team that's just limited in terms of its skill set, at the end of the day, you can only do so much.
And it's the first 21 season since 2018, since before we were on campus, Johnny. It feels like eons ago, especially with how basketball has changed and how recruiting and transfers and COVID and all that sort of stuff has shifted the landscape. This is now a new face in Coach Autry, taking on head on the new challenges that Syracuse basketball faces and meeting them well. So there's a whole nother discussion to get into based on this season and how the team has improved and where they've fallen short on what needs to be added. And if people come back, if people go in the portal, and that's something we might find out pretty quickly. I mean, maybe at the end of March. We've seen it with football season. Syracuse plays its last game. 2 days later, guys are in the portal. So we might get these portal, reports and transfers rather quickly. We'll see what all happens with that. But first and foremost, the ACC tournament is coming up. Syracuse right now, if the season ended today, would be in the sixth spot. However, things could change based on the results of this weekend. So after a quick break, we'll break down what Syracuse needs to happen on Saturday for the optimal ACC tournament bracket.
As you guys know by now, we've partnered with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for the listeners and the viewers of the Field of 68 as we all get ready for the best month of the year, March Madness. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, you can use the bonus code FIELD150 and you will get $150 in free bets on your first wager with BetMGM, regardless of whether or not you win that first bet. Here's the best part. All you need to do is deposit and bet $5 of your hard-earned money. This is how you make it work. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using the bonus code FIELD150. That's FIELD150. Deposit at least $5 and place your first wager on any game. You will receive up to $150 in bonus bets regardless of the outcome of your bet. Just make sure you use that bonus code FIELD150 when you sign up. And remember, BetMGM is now available in one wallet in select states. As a New Jersey resident, this is super convenient when I have to go cover games in Philly or New York, which happens quite a bit. When you cross state borders, you just log into your existing account and fire away. You don't have to create a new account in each state. It's easy, it's simple, and it's clean. And most importantly, we have some fun stuff coming up for the conference tournaments and for the NCAA tournament. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops odds boost, and my personal favorite, a nice little parlay boost here and there. So download the BetMGM app and sign up today. Big news, guys. I am thrilled to announce that we have partnered with Autograph, a company founded by the GOAT himself, Tom Brady. The Autograph fandom app gives you access to the best college hoops content, fan contests, and exclusive rewards like discounted tickets, all for doing the things that diehard fans like you already do, following your favorite team in the news and listening to podcasts just like this one. When Tom, and yes, I am calling him Tom, we're on a first name basis these days, co-founded Autograph, he had one mission in mind: change the fan experience for the better. It works like this. You get all of your college hoops content you want in one place. You get articles from your favorite writers, pods from your favorite hosts, contests from your favorite creators, all on the feeds and the sites that you already enjoy. But instead of having to go to all these different places, it all comes to you in one spot, the Autograph fandom app. But here's the best part. The more content that you consume, the higher you rank in the app. As you consider the level up in status on the app, you can unlock unique rewards curated exclusively for you. So download the free Autograph app in the App Store and use the referral code F68, that's F68, or tap in at the link in the description below or in the podcast app of your choosing to start earning points for doing something as normal as listening to this very podcast.
So 6-seed Syracuse, where we stand at the moment, would play the 9:30 game on Wednesday night. Whole lot different than the past couple of years when we, Johnny and I, were sneaking through class and heading out early to the radio station, WAER, to work on these games that took place at noon. And believe me, it's really tough to staff a noon radio game when you've got 30-something kids, and majority of them have class.
Yeah, they all have their Psych 105 lectures. If I remember correctly, Ian, when we were down there last year in Greensboro for the tournament, I think in the media room, they had breakfast food for us, if I'm not mistaken.
They did. We showed up at about 10, and the breakfast food was still out. I can't remember what was there, because I think I had made it a point to eat already.
Yeah.
But there was definitely bagels and
muffins
of some sort. Muffins. Yeah, it was all spread around. I can't remember anything I ate from that trip besides the Stamey's barbecue afterwards across the street. That was good. We were all very dejected and sort of licking our wounds as we had broadcast our final games as college students. But that's a story for another time. This time it's in Washington, D.C., so 9:30 in the nation's capital, Syracuse gets the winner of BC or Miami. That is, if the tournament was tomorrow. However, we've got Saturday still coming. And Pitt and Wake Forest, sandwiched around Syracuse, still have to play games. First of all, getting a bye on the last weekend of the season, in my opinion, I view that as a negative. I don't want my team to sit around and wait. I want you to be fresh, ready, coming off a game where you know what you did wrong, you know what you did right, making adjustments going right into another one.
Especially because it's not like they know their opponent and have north of a week to prepare, because they won't know until after this weekend.
So you're in the same mindset here, that giving Syracuse the weekend off to recuperate and rest and then get down to DC probably is not a net positive.
It hurts more than it helps, particularly when, even with the Clemson loss, this is still a team that's been playing better as of recently and overall has things going in the right direction.
Yeah, unless Peter Carey is healthy by next Wednesday, I don't know. And again, even if he has been healthy, I'm not sure if he would get on the court. So that's a big old toss-up. On Pitt and Wake Forest, Panthers play North Carolina State at the Pete at 7:45. And Wake, who has now hit a total downslide, just lost to Georgia Tech, faces Clemson at 6 in Winston-Salem. So both teams are at home. Both teams playing opponents of different scales. I would think Clemson is the favorite to beat Wake Forest. And Pitt, on the other hand, against NC State, that's a toss-up, total toss-up, the way North Carolina State's guards can score. Here are the scenarios. If both Pitt and Wake Forest lose, Syracuse gets the 5 seed. So that's a 2:30 game on Wednesday, playing the winner of Notre Dame and Virginia Tech.
And we should note
Georgia Tech.
We should note, should that be the case and Clemson stays in the 4, that could set up potentially a third matchup with the Tigers in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, and don't know how we feel about that. The 6 seed, if Syracuse stays put, one of Pitt and one of Wake Forest loses. So maybe Pitt loses to, Wake Forest loses to Clemson. That's a much more realistic scenario. Pitt beats NC State. Syracuse stays in the 6, has either BC or Miami. Honestly, I'm not sure how I feel about that, seeing that BC kind of handled Syracuse at Conte Forum and Miami was a basket away from winning on the road without its starting center. That doesn't inspire the most confidence. But if you beat BC or Miami, you get Virginia, which has looked offensively anemic over the past month. So, Johnny, how do you feel about that?
I think staying in the 6 is probably best case scenario. Here's how I view it. If you fall to the 7, then you got to, in all likelihood, play NC State in the second round, right from the jump in your first game. I don't love that from a matchup standpoint for Syracuse. The other reason, I'd much rather get BC or Miami than NC State. The other reason I like staying in the 60 is because not only do you get a beatable Virginia team then in the quarterfinals, but then you set up your semifinal showdown with, in all likelihood, Duke, and that's your go-get-it game, right? Like, if you can win 2, and it feels like that magic number has been, hey, go win 3 and get a marquee win, there it is. Right in front of you for the taking. So, look, none of these paths are going to be easy. But if you were to ask me which one is most preferable, I'd say probably staying where they are right now.
Delay the UNC or Duke matchup as long as possible.
Yeah.
That's what I am asking for. Put the pressure on Duke or North Carolina, which, by the way, will come down to the Tobacco Road Showdown at 6:30. Whoever wins between UNC and Duke gets the 1 seed. So keep in mind, if Syracuse is at the 6 or with the 7, if both Pitt and Wake win, they're seeing the loser of that game. Syracuse is at the 5. They have the winner. And again, even though you beat UNC at home, I don't think either of those teams are fantastic. But let's put it this way. If you beat the 4 seed, the 3 seed as Syracuse, you're playing with house money.
The pressure would be on the blue blood at that point. Yes.
The pressure's on Duke or UNC. And something else to consider. You're not playing in New York City, which, even though it's Syracuse's quote unquote second home, there are plenty of Duke alums who get those finance jobs on Wall Street and move up to New York City. There are plenty of UNC and Duke fans, and Wake Forest fans for that matter, who make the trip to Greensboro. You're playing in D.C. Unless there's some Wake
Unless
fans,
the Georgetown contingent comes out to root against the Orange, I think they'll be okay.
That is a wild suggestion, seeing as Georgetown will be the basement bottom seed in the Big East tournament, which is at Madison Square Garden, again, as it should be. But yeah, I mean, unless there's a Duke group or there's a Wake Forest group that's deep in politics, rooted in D.C. and comes to Capital One Arena, like, this is not going to be an adverse environment as Syracuse has played in over the past couple of years. Think about these tournament games. Wake last year in Greensboro. Duke 2 years ago in New York City. Again, a noon tip where it's not like, oh, all the Syracuse fans can get off from work, drive to the city, and make this a Syracuse home environment.
Right.
So I think the crowd dynamics this year might help everyone else who's not a fan of a team from a Tobacco Road.
Yeah, it's going to be about as neutral site as it gets, which you would think favors the underdog.
Yeah. Who knows? But also I don't like it from a tournament perspective. Like,
yeah, it's not as fun.
I don't see any ACC tournament connections in DC, but I guess we're glad the conference is trying to spread the wealth and Jim Boeheim won't have to complain about Greensboro. So I guess that's the positive in it all. So Syracuse has the weekend off and we will dissect the complete ACC tournament bracket and give you picks for every single game on Monday when it comes out. So with that being said, we are done for the day. Ian Unsworth, Johnny Gadamwitz signing off for the weekend. Stay locked. Monday at noon, we will have the full ACC tournament preview and give us a follow in the meantime on Twitter, iUnsy, Johnny G. Witz, F68_Cuse. Listen wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe on YouTube to the Field of 68 Podcast Network for all the latest. Have a good weekend. Go Orange.